Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Alleluia. And he is going to prepare a place for you. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Be seated. Jesus is going to prepare a place for you. Mothers do that. When I would go home for a visit, my mom would do all sorts of preparations and get all sorts of things ready for me. Things I didn't think I needed, but she was pleased and excited that I was coming home and wanted to do all that. And now the mother of my children does the same thing. Our house is full again this weekend with my kids home from college, but not for long. Soon they'll leave again because they're growing up and doing new things. But there's something about a full house. It's a good thing. It's the way things were meant to be. Even after our kids grow up and start filling their own houses. Jesus is going to prepare a place for you. Maybe you don't have a place here. There are homeless people whose numbers seem to be growing, people in prison, folks whose homes have been ripped apart by sin, so they are no longer full, or where they're no longer welcome. But whether or not you have a place here, and whether that place is large or small, luxurious or simple, Jesus is going to prepare a place for you. And his rooms, the rooms of life, are far more spacious than our abodes of death, and will last forever. This is the home, though, that Satan is trying to take away from you. Maybe by making you want your place in this world and to feel at home here, rather than look to that place that Jesus is preparing for you. Or maybe he will use persecution to try to make you turn away and to think that all that you're going through now, it isn't worth it. I remember talking to the bishop of the Lutheran Church in Sudan. He said what the Muslims there do to Christians is take away their homes, both their homes and their church. They'll come to a village one day with a bulldozer and say, the government is building a road, and oh, coincidentally, right here, right where your house and your church are. So it has to go. And they'll bulldoze it right then and there. And then, of course, the road never gets built. But Jesus is going to prepare a place for you that cannot be bulldozed, that cannot be taken away. For he is happy and excited that you are coming, that you will be home with him forever. Jesus is going to prepare a place for you. The disciples needed to know that because things were about to get messy. Things were about to happen that would shake them to the very core of their being. Jesus wants to lift up their thoughts and inspire them with courage and comfort so that when they see him arrested, taken away and crucified in mere hours, they would not despair or lose hope. Yes, he is going away, but he is going to prepare a place for them. That's what this is all about, is what he's telling them, his whole life and work. Yes, they had left father, mother, house, home, and job for him. But they would not be homeless. And they would be rewarded 100-fold. Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's the very first beatitude. So let not your hearts be troubled, Jesus says. Trust, believe. I am going, but I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is going to the cross. He is going to the grave to prepare those places for us as well. He goes to the cross so that the crosses placed upon us in our lives be not for harm but for good. Not for our death but for our life. He goes to the cross to transform it for us. That the suffering, the pain, persecution, hardships, and struggles that you have not overcome you or be of no purpose, but join you to Jesus and draw you closer to your Savior and focus you on the place He has gone to prepare for you. And then He goes to the grave to prepare that for us as well. That it not be the end, but a passage. That it may be our resting place until the day of resurrection to life again. Jesus goes to the tomb to sanctify it. He goes to the place meant to destroy us, to transform it too, into a bed. So that we may go to the place where He is, to the place He has gone to prepare for you. And so having gone to those places with us and for us, He will come back. He came back in His resurrection, and He will come back again when all things are ready. The place He has gone to prepare, ready. And He will bring us up out of our graves to live in that place with Him. He wants you there. He's happy and excited that you're coming and to welcome you home. Finally. Jesus is going to prepare a place for you. All these places, actually, that we always have hope and never be homeless. No matter what our situation in this world and life. And He is the only way to it. He is the way, the truth, and the life, the only one. No one comes to the Father except through Him. That offends some people, though it really shouldn't. Think of riding the metro. If you live in Vienna and you want to get home, you have to get on the right train. Only one will take you where you want to go. You could argue that all the trains look alike, so what difference does it make? You could argue that those are nicer, so I want to take those instead of the old ones, but they won't get you where you want to go. Only one will. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. If you want to get home, to that home Jesus has gone to prepare for you, He's the only way there. You may think there are other ways, ways that look nicer, that seem better, or that they all look alike, but they're not. Jesus is the only one who died for you and rose from the dead for you. He's the only one who can take you where you want to be. He's the only one. He is the way. That is the truth. And to the life that He wants you to have. A life free from sin. A life in abundance. And a life that will never end. It's not easy, though. Think of Israel going through the Red Sea. We sang about that in the hymn we just sang. Think about how hard that first step must have been when they began to go through the Red Sea. Or think about how hard it must have been when they got halfway across. And the thoughts that must have filled their mind as they saw all that threatening water on both sides of them. It's not easy. You began the journey through water also, the water of baptism. And there's lots of danger on the way for you too. But Jesus has gone before you. The waters you passed through, He has already passed through. In fact, they did overcome Him. All the guilt of all your sin and all your death came crashing down on Him. And yet He came out the other side. And now He is preparing a place for you there. For when you come out the other side too. Or maybe better to say, when He brings you out the other side with Him, risen from the dead to life again. Jesus is going to prepare a place for you. The disciples, as usual, though, don't quite get it, do they? And as I was reading this, I was wondering, where's Peter? He's there, of course, but he's unusually silent. He's usually the one who always speaks up and puts his foot in his mouth, right? But this time, it's Thomas and Philip. And Philip is the one who says, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also," Jesus says. They thought they did know Him. They were with Him 3 years now. They had seen things. They had heard much. But did they still not know Him? But Jesus says, "From now on, you do know Him and have seen Him." Well, what are they going to know now that they didn't know before? What are they going to see now? What was going to change? The cross. That is going to change everything. From now on, they're going to know Jesus. They're going to know the Father like never before. For on the cross, it's not going to be miracle worker Jesus, or great teacher Jesus, or man of unparalleled compassion Jesus, or mighty Jesus. They're going to see how much Jesus loves them as He lays down His life for them. They're going to see and know a love they had never known or seen or could even imagine. Even after all they had heard and seen. That's the first thing. But part of their wonder here is also the same as our wonder. For what Jesus is speaking here is part of the mystery of the Trinity. Jesus is going to the Father, He says. And yet He says, if you've seen Him, you have seen the Father. These statements seem to contradict one another. And yet both are true. There is only one God. So you've seen Jesus. You've seen the one and only God in the flesh. But this one true God is at the same time a trinity of persons. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Jesus doesn't explain it because there is simply no analogy or parable or example that can be used to help us understand how this can be, this reality of God. God is distinct and separate and far above and far different from anything else we know or can understand. So we can understand Philip's statement here. Maybe we even think the same thing sometimes. This is so confusing. Show me, Jesus. Show me something so that I can believe. Well, what he will show you is himself on the cross. What he will show you is himself in the grave. What he will show you is himself alive on the third day, that you believe. That he did this for you. And that now he is going to prepare a place for you. That where he is, you may be also. That though you die, yet shall you live. That's the faith Stephen had when he looked up to heaven as the stones were flying and saw not a strange and unfamiliar God. He saw his friend, his Savior. And so will you. For Jesus is going to prepare a place for you and will come again and take you to himself. He will come again for you, maybe as you lie in the hospital or maybe at home. Maybe when you're young or maybe when you're old. Maybe in the midst of turmoil and tragedy, maybe at peace. But he will. He is faithful. God didn't create you just to be a momentary blip in the history of the world, but to have life with him forever. And so Jesus came, and so he will come again. The one who is the way, the truth, and the life. The way to the Father. The Father who wants his children with him in his house. And not just for a visit, but forever. And so now he comes here to this place that we have prepared to prepare us, to feed us with his body and blood, that our sins be forgiven, that our faith in him and his promises be strengthened, and that his resurrected life live in us. So that when we live as if this place is our home and we cling to the things of this world and life, we repent and be forgiven. And that as we prayed, he direct our hearts to where true joys are found and we live like it. And that we be ready for when he comes for us, whenever and however that may be. Ready for the Lamb's high feast. And so we pray, come Lord Jesus, come for us, come for me. And he will, because he said, if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. So we're asking, and he will do it. For Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
And will come again to take you to that place he has gone to prepare for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.